Gervase Finn was a teacher before he became an author, and teaching gave him a fund of stories to write about. As a primary school teacher, of course, nativity plays were, well, I mean, just everyone tends to give you something new. He tells a great story of a nativity play with a pretty little 6 or 7 year old as Mary and a rather tall, gawky, self-conscious 10-year-old boy as Gabriel. And Mary's dusting and Gabriel comes alongside and she looks at him and says, who are you? I'm the angel Gabriel. Deadpan expression, flat voice. Well, what do you want? Are you Mary? Yes? I come with tidings of great joy. What? I've got some good news. What is it? You're having a baby. I'm not. You are. Who says? God. And he sent me to tell you. Well, I don't know nothing about this. It'll be a boy and he'll become great and he'll be called Son of the Most High, the King of Kings. What if it's a girl? It won't be. You don't know, it might be. It won't, because God knows about these things. Oh. And you're to call him Jesus. I don't like the name Jesus. Can I call him something else? No. What about Gavin? No. You have to call it Jesus, otherwise you don't get it. All right, then, Mary said. I don't know what I'm going to tell Joseph, though. Tell him it's God's. Okay, said Mary, smiling for the first time. And as Gabriel disappears, Joseph comes alongside, and he's a sort of fairly cheery chappy, and he comes up. He says, hello, Mary, have you had a good day? Oh, yes, pretty good, she says, nodding dramatically. Have you got anything to tell me? I'm having a baby, and it's not yours. Well, you kind of listen to that, and if you look at Matthew freshly, you suddenly realize we are actually dealing with adult material. This should get a PG rating at the very least. Some tabloid editor has got the story ready to print, you know, royal heir spurns bride in quickie divorce. I mean, if there is any small print to read in the tabloids, you discover that royal heir is that line about Joseph being a son of David from King David's family, but actually it's many, many a generation back since the king sat on the throne, and the bride is really his fiancée, but engagement was a legally binding pledge. You could only end with divorce in those days, and the quickie divorce, well, it wasn't so much quickly as quietly. It looks for all the world as if she has been unfaithful and he's unwilling to shame her for her adultery. But it's obvious there's more to Christmas than cloying sentiment and some sort of romantic snow-covered tradition. And yet I still think you can tell the Christmas story in 6 words. I think you can give it its original meaning, its punch and its bite in 6 words of one syllable. Here are the first three. You'll find them in verse 23. God with us. God with us. You see, you're to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, the fact of it is actually mind-boggling. Don't worry if you're incredulous, if you can't get your head around Virgin, Holy Spirit, Mary, baby. That's what's going on here, isn't it? Joseph is saying, pull the other one too. I mean, look how our section begins. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. If you saw the great programs about the nativity the BBC put out a couple of years ago, they caught the raw tension of this brilliantly. I mean, don't let's reduce Christmas to the matter of fact that it wasn't. Jesus is presented as a God-produced baby, but not just in the way that every baby is. C.S. Lewis writes of this birth and God's involvement, and he says, for once, the great glove of nature was taken off his hand. God with us. I mean, the fact of it's mind-boggling, the reality of it's mind-stretching. Some people speak of it as if God sort of slipped into human nature, like someone putting on dungarees to come and repair the world after a breakdown, but it's not like that. That's a bit like the government minister who climbs into a tank and drives it for a bit to sort of get the feel of it. But they don't get the feel of it, do they? They don't get the feel of the heat and the claustrophobia and the smell of fear on the battlefield. When God becomes man, he'll bleed real blood. In just a few months, Joseph will have a living, crying, kicking, tuck under one arm baby. God with us. And the discomfort of that is mind-shocking. God with us. So, no room to guess about God anymore. I like to think of God as, wait a moment, he's shown himself. You ought to know. God with us. One writer spoke about how he always thought that Jesus was a bit like a Star Trek Vulcan, you know, who remains calm, cool, and collected as he strode like a robot amongst excitable human beings on planet Earth. And then he read the Gospels. And he said, I saw other people affected Jesus deeply. Obstinacy frustrated him. Self-righteousness infuriated him. Simple faith thrilled him. Indeed, he seemed more emotional and spontaneous than the average person, not less. More passionate, not less. We warm to more passionate, unless, of course, he's infuriated with me. He's not quite the tame teddy bear figure, the harmless mascot of a saccharine Christmas. God with us. And what does this God say? One university professor surveyed students over a number of years and asked them what teaching of Jesus they remembered. Do you know what was easily the most remembered line? Forgive your enemies. Forgive your enemies. Well, the world still needs that, doesn't it? Peshawar needs that. Now, 130 children massacred by the Taliban in retaliation for what the army had done to them. And on the Today program this morning, I'm listening to an 18-year-old who survives the massacre, and he's asked at the end of it, as that was an army school, what does he want the military to do for them? And he says, revenge. I'm not climbing on any moral high horse. I haven't lived through the trauma of seeing my friends and schoolmates shot down mercilessly, and he may have meant justice. He said revenge. But unless forgive your enemies can creep in, that cycle's going on and on. I couldn't pull it off. I wouldn't know what it looked like. But the man who says, forgive your enemies, is the one who says, Father, forgive them as they nail him to a cross. Of course, we're talking in the extremes there. I mean, just put forgive your enemies, you know, on your fridge for Christmas. On your mirror, you know, just see how you handle family and friends over the next 2 or 3 weeks. No, actually, make sure you pin it up on your desk. You'll need it with one colleague or another. And you might be embarrassed when you look down and see it. Now, God with us, one teaching, forgive your enemies, and we can't live it. We don't. We can't. Three wonderful, breathtaking, disturbing words of Christmas. God with us. Here are the other three. Just as simple, really. God for us. God for us. You'll see them, well, they sum up really what's being said at the end of verse 21, where Joseph told you to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Yeah, for some people, it's guilt. You don't need to tell them that they're dodgy characters. The extraordinary thing that the Christmas story as it unfolds tells us is this God is for us, even when we're genuinely dodgy. For shepherds, and they were certainly dodgy characters, for the tax collectors, for the prostitutes. For others, well, here's how one person put it. Guilt was not my problem as I felt it. What I felt most was a glob of unworthiness that I couldn't tie down to any concrete sins I was guilty of. What I needed more than pardon was a sense that God accepted me, owned me, held me, affirmed me, wouldn't let go of me, even if he wasn't much impressed with what he had in his hands. Now, whether it's shame or guilt, to be accepted undeservedly, it's the mark of what the Bible calls grace. And it's hard to find outside of God for us. I was reading recently of a reunion of students from a missionary academy, and every one of them at some point had left their faith, and everyone had come back, and they had this in common. They'd all found grace. One of them told his story this way. He said, "I rejected church for a time because I found so little grace there. I returned because I found grace nowhere else." Now, some who've grasped those first three words, "God with us," find it hard to handle the next three, "God for us." The more clearly I've grasped how disturbing the first is, the more difficult it can be to accept the second. A colleague once caught the agnostic actor W.C. Fields in his dressing room reading a Bible. Embarrassed, Fields snapped the book shut and explained, "Just looking for loopholes." Probably he was looking for grace. God with us. God for us. Well, you come to verse 24 and you read, "When Joseph woke up." And the whole Christmas story is still in the balance. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, as he takes Mary as his wife, as he names the child Jesus, this is Joseph adopting him, acknowledging God with us, calling him God for us. Joseph symbolizes all we face at Christmas. See, is it really just a story? Or God involving himself in our lives? Doing something. For Joseph, it was God meddling with his life, his girl, affecting his family, altering his eternity. For you and for me, many of us will come to Christmas as victims. We've had the raw end of some of life's deals this year. All of us will come as culprits. We've been perpetrators. But if Christmas is real, if these six words are yours, God with us, God for us, there's a confidence you can have at Christmas time. You can get nowhere else. One Irish minister was walking his rural parish. He saw this old man kneeling by the side of the road praying, and he was so impressed. He said to him, "You must be very close to God." And the old man looked up and thought for a moment and said, "Yes, he's very fond of me." God with us. God for us. May you know that confident Christmas. Amen.